And welcome back.
What up, bitches?
Cinema Vino.
That's a fresh new intro.
Yeah, I got a 12-string guitar with my Christmas money, so I want to make use of that.
The very beginning sounds like this thing called Love.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going for. It's a little bit kind of a Freddie Mercury vibe.
Yep.
And next, we're going to do Stairway to Heaven.
Exactly. Yeah, which is on the 12-string.
That's why I said it.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
First song I learned how to play it on that was Hotel California, and I hate the Eagles. I just played the right chord, and it was like, oh my God, and then it just went into it. It was like I was possessed.
It's actually by how the Eagles played it, too. Just played the chord once, song came out, and they're like, I don't like that, but it's magic.
It's yeah, it was like I was possessed by the devil briefly and played about 8 chords of Hotel California.
I love the Eagles. I don't know if it gets better than You Can't Hide Your Lying Eyes.
Are you in the Hotel California right now? Blink twice if you're in the Hotel California.
Mm-hmm. Very well, maybe.
Yeah. And I believe there's some references to Satan in that song, or like the devil, and it kind of fits the the aesthetic of the Eagles, I think. Mm-hmm. Just evil. Anyway.
This is weird.
Yeah. New York Minute.
So we're going to talk about Don't Look Up. Movie debuted on Netflix, I believe, last week around Christmas.
Week after Christmas.
Broke all kinds of records for viewership on Netflix, and not surprising with the cast and the filmmaker behind it. So, pretty interesting.
Was Adam McKay?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huge cast.
Yeah. I mean,
we were just talking about everybody that's on it.
Crazy.
Freaking everybody.
Yeah, probably a dozen or more people you'll recognize.
Topher Grace.
Not Topher Grace, but...
Andrew Garfield.
Pretty much everybody else.
Jamie Foxx.
Mm-hmm. Adam McKay, who started out on SNL with Will Ferrell. They began a partnership together. And he graduated up to feature films. So he did, like, The Anchorman, Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights. The Other Guys. Mark Wahlberg, and then he moved up to more grown-up movies. I wrote adult movies on here, which is not exactly the right term.
I'd watch it, yeah, with Will Ferrell.
That's a whole different genre, especially when it's called The Other Guys.
Mom!
he did The Big Short, Vice, and then he was one of the producers of Succession, if you guys have seen that.
But all of those have, like, sort of underlying tones of comedy with, like, serious notes.
Yes.
So he's been pretty consistent with his material.
Drama laced with sarcasm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pleasure spiked with pain.
So true. And so I would classify this film as a heavy satire.
Heavy satire.
Like, thick as cold syrup.
Oh, super heavy.
Thank you, Travis.
I hadn't said anything in a while.
It's important to just chime stuff in. Combines elements of Dr. Strangelove, satire from the 60s. Network. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie Network, but definitely, which is a satire of the media. Dr. Strangelove is a satire of the government, and and it's also an apocalyptic satire. Yeah. And then
Mad as Hell, not going to take it anymore.
Yeah.
That network.
Exactly. And then also it's a satire of disaster movies, Deep Impact, Armageddon.
It reminded me a lot of Idiocracy.
That too.
Yeah. That's what I got a lot of.
Yeah.
It's a blend of a lot of different.
Brondo.
Definitely has that feel.
Brontorock.
We don't know what it means.
Is this spoilers?
Yeah. I think yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're going spoilers.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it a little bit. I'll give some background on it and general thoughts, and then at that point we'll give you a warning when we start getting into the plot. You can go and watch it and come back. It is on Netflix again, so if you have that, get to streaming. Basic plot of the movie is an asteroid threatens Earth, or comet, whatever the hell it is. I don't know the difference between an asteroid and a comet, but whatever it is, it's like, I'm guessing a comet is something of a free orbit that's like not...
It's a celestial object.
Yeah.
Coming to Earth.
Yes.
About 9 kilometers wide.
Yeah.
I think is the understanding.
So it is a planet destroying comet, roughly the size of the comet that killed the dinosaurs. About the same size. So Jennifer Lawrence is a PhD student. Leo DiCaprio is her boss. They're both astronomers. She discovers it. You know, he analyzes the comet, figures out it's on a collision course with Earth. It's going to hit the planet in roughly 6 months. They go and notify the higher-ups in the government. you know, the president, chief of staff, all the generals.
NASA.
And they encounter a lot of, I would say, bureaucratic apathy and a lot of ineptitude and just a lot of, I would say, almost political indifference to it of like, well, we can't score any points off of it, so who gives a shit? And so they are discouraged and they decide to take their story to the media. They appear on a show called The Big Rip, which makes me think of a fart. I can't be the only one who thinks
of that. Oh, no. I think that's very on the nose, yeah. On the nose.
Exactly. Cate Blanchett and Tyler Perry are the hosts of that show. And so they air it out in public, and then it becomes a huge political hot-button issue. It divides into two camps. People are unsure of what to do about it, if anything. People deny the fact that there is a comet, even after it appears in the sky and you can see it hurtling toward the planet. People deny it. So basically it's like it ignites a huge conflict within humanity. It divides everybody pretty much all the way up until the point that the comet's getting close to Earth. Adam McKay made this movie as a allegory for climate change. He was inspired to do something that indirectly addressed the issue of climate change. So, and basically how he viewed the media and the people at large as complacent, as inert in dealing with it. So, it's a very big, very broad satire, very broad jokes. But I'm curious to hear what you guys think. I had the strong opinions about it. I definitely wrote a long-winded review on my site. But I'm curious to hear what you guys think.
So what site is that?
It's toddwoffordmovies.com.
.com?
.com.
.com.
What happened to moviereviews.us?
moviereviews.us?
I decided to do something more with my name in it. That way it helps people remember who
I am. So they shouldn't go there anymore?
No.
They shouldn't go to moviereviews.us.
You'll get redirected if you do. You can go there, but you'll get moved to the new site.
To toddwoffordmovies.com.
Yes, exactly. Looking to get moved.
You're looking and you're lacking.
Mm-hmm. Listen, if you go there, you'll be moved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I enjoyed this movie. I actually ended up watching it twice. Watched it by myself, and then I watched it with family later on. And so, I definitely got Idiocracy at first when I was watching it. But there's also the last Godzilla movie that was made by Toho was called Shin Godzilla. And it had a lot of like government ineptitude where people were like, oh my God, this thing's here. Well, who do we talk to about it? I don't know. Let's have meetings and let's go in. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So it was very, very much satire and that. And it's a good one. We should actually watch it sometime. But this one applied more to our current pandemic with me.
I believe so. I saw a lot of that too.
I got a lot of that.
And then I just, you know. Mainly that basically we're too stupid to live.
Yeah.
if we can't see the asteroid coming for us or you know, listen to the scientists and the people in the know, we're like, well, I guess collectively, we're about done.
Yeah.
We're, you know, stick a fork in us. Fuck it. We're out.
I mean, I saw a stat that I believe it was in the last 10 years, 9 million people have died due to climate change, like different effects of the weather.
Oh, yeah.
So believe that's quite a bit more than COVID, even.
I mean, the amount of 500-year floods and wildfires and hurricanes and tornadoes that have happened
drought.
That would not happen normally.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we're not going to get into climate change on this podcast because that's
out of our pay grade.
I mean,
if you're listening to us for climate change science,
face like listeners that we've had that
their
aren't
eyes are
about this,
glazing over.
Their faces are melting as we're discussing this.
Yes.
And maybe this movie went over their heads. Yeah. And maybe that's because we're too stupid to live.
Well, and that's one thing. This movie did go over people's heads. I've seen a lot of people like responding to it, being like, oh, don't look up. Like, ha, ha, ha. And people are like, you're a Republican senator. You are voting against you. Do you even watch this movie?
Yeah. And again, it's like the thing in the movie, like they're trying to score political points wherever they can.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that same idea that politicians are interested in staying in office at all costs.
Yeah. They just want to stay in the limelight.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the theme of the whole movie. It's like when the two broadcasters, like DiCaprio tells him like there's a comet coming on, and the guy's like, "Well, was it coming from my ex-wife's house?"
You know, I wouldn't mind a hitting.
Yeah,
Meryl Streep and Jonah Hill were hilarious.
Yeah,
in this, that was
they were having a lot of fun.
I do remember, like, I saw an interview where Jennifer Lawrence was like, they were, you know, doing press or taking photos and stuff for it, and they were talking about Meryl Streep, like, oh, you know, get the goat in here, get the goat. And then Meryl Streep didn't understand that goat meant greatest of all time. She was like, yeah, just the old goat coming in. They're like, you do know what goat means.
It's a compliment.
Greatest of all time.
Meryl?
And she was like, oh, no. I thought you guys were calling me an old goat the whole time.
It's a compliment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed Jonah Hill a lot. You know, like when he would announce the meetings at the Molly had just kicked in.
He's like, time the shit perfect.
Time the shit perfect.
It just, yeah. Or it's like, I love the little bits in the movie where, like, they charge for snacks in the White House.
That was
okay.
Great.
So
like it's a La Quinta.
The actor who played the four-star general or whatever that charged them for snacks, I only know him from, like, CSI. But he's been in fucking everything, right?
I think yeah. He's a four-star general in about 10 different movies.
Yeah.
He's in the Perif.
He's got that square haircut that's just perfect for everything.
He's like in about probably 20 episodes of The West Wing in like that situation room, like staring at the map.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Sean, what did you think?
I thought it was great. Honestly, I was really surprised by this movie. I saw the trailers for it when it was coming out. I saw it on Netflix when it was like on the screen. And I kind of rolled my eyes. I was like, yeah, okay. I get the premise of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really need to watch it. But then, you know, I ended up watching it and I was like, oh my God, this is a really good movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is really well done satire. I mean, it's very thick and like layered on satire. Like it is not subtle at all.
Yeah.
But I mean, we kind of need that, I guess, as people.
Maybe so. Yeah. It goes back to the thesis of, you know, how smart are we to even survive?
Fucking idiots. We are all idiots.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're surviving as people. But I thought it was really well done. The commentary on social media, the commentary on like when, okay, so we're going full spoilers. So when Jennifer Lawrence gets fired, I guess, or sent home and her parents answer the door and they're just like, we don't want any politics in here. And she's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
We're for the jobs that the meteor is going to create. And she's like,
which is a political.
What? Response. Oh my God. When the fucking Facebook guy is like, it's going to create $140 trillion worth of fine metals. And Jonah Hill's just like, buck 40 trillion?
Like, uh-oh, we're going to save the earth and be all rich. Cool. Whoa, no, what's going to happen?
Oh, it was amazingly done. I mean, I come from a family with a space background. I thought this movie was really interesting to see all the NASA tie-ins where everyone at NASA is just like, what the fuck is going on? Why did we cancel this? What's happening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And us from Oklahoma, we are happy to be the home of Jim Bridenstine, who was the former head of NASA, who was a Trump appointee who had no background
in this
or science. It's he like, was a climate denier who was in charge of NASA. That was not subtle dig at him.
Big time, what was it, the platinum level donor?
Oh, yeah, the like triple eagle donor. He has full access. He can come in anywhere.
His money buys you everything.
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, I think this was such a well-done movie. And like you said, the fact that it can apply to so many different things, like it obviously applied directly to everything we've been dealing with COVID. It was, you know, climate change. I think there were certain characters that were supposed to be like allegories for other characters. I think Jennifer Lawrence was supposed to be Greta Thunberg. You know, I thought Leonardo DiCaprio, his character was really interesting because he was the scientist that got like wrapped up in the celebrity of it and kind of lost the message a little bit because he was a celebrity scientist.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool to kind of humanize him as the voice of reason who gets lost in, you know, stardom.
How easy it is to get swept up in that.
Yeah.
Also, this is out of nowhere, but like I love the actress that plays his wife in this. I can never remember her name, but I always think that she's great in anything I see her pop up in.
She's in tons of stuff.
Yeah. The only one I can think of right now is she was in Perks of Being a Wallflower, but she wasn't in that very much either.
Yeah.
But,
Melanie Lynskey.
Yep. I'm a fan.
Yep.
I love it that some people are commenting that DiCaprio finally has like an age-appropriate wife and like grown children.
Shit. Oh, his this was great comedy, great satire, but it is interesting seeing like when Jennifer Lawrence and then DiCaprio would like have their freakouts on the newscast. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here?
This is
like very actually network. Like, but like, you know. Put on the actor hat a little bit, like, oh shit.
Yeah.
This was he's giving an impassioned speech right now that they cut him off of, mm-hmm. like at the very end.
Yeah.
But like it switches around and we're like, oh, he's doing some acting here. He's really, you know, he's obviously he's acting as well when he's doing comedy, but it's different hats on. And so it's interesting to see him going from one to like switching on the other mm-hmm. really quick.
Yeah.
What I thought it was really interesting, Cate Blanchett's work in this role was really cool. Not cool, but I thought it was a really well-written character in that they added a lot of depth to her, but at the same time kept her so shallow the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To kind of see the character that they built around her, and she played it really well.
Well, it's like they imply that there's depth to her, but she keeps it bricked off.
Oh, yeah.
Basically.
Absolutely. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, I dated like a, you know, the last one was a politician. Before that was like
fake teeth.
Fucking four-star general. Yeah. Everyone had fake teeth in this movie. Oh, my God. There were so many fucking veneers.
Veneers.
The Facebook guy?
Yes.
Mook or whatever the social media was?
The Mark Rylance.
Yeah. He did have the
Oh, is that the actor's name?
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was almost Bugs Bunny-esque.
Smiling the whole time with his big teeth.
I think the only other thing I had seen him in was Tinker Taylor Soldier Spy.
And he was in Bridge of Spies.
Oh, Bridge of Spies.
Bridge of Spies,
shit, yeah. That was
I was it. Thinking Gary Oldman.
BFG. He was the BFG.
Oh, I did not see BFG.
Mm-hmm. Do you see Ready Player One?
Yes.
He was the founder or whatever, like the creator of the game.
Gotcha.
So I enjoyed it.
He was in Dunkirk.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. He's in tons of stuff. Dunkirk's a great movie. I enjoyed it. I don't think I liked it as much as you guys did.
You're too smart.
Yeah,
you're better than us.
It was over my head. I think that the satire got a little bit too broad over too long of a time. It kind of was almost exhausting in a way because it was almost like too much truth of how we are as a people.
It did get depressing.
It was
I was like, God, we suck.
Yeah. It's just like, God, this is too close to home. It's like where the Ariana Grande's breakup and now engagement is trending above the end of the world. It's like, this is just too.
That song got stuck in my head, though.
when she writes a song for it, yeah.
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 It's like, this is just too similar. Or like...
The ending was just fucking depressing. Where they're just looking at each other, just like, well, we tried.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, to touch on that just a little bit, like, our thoughts and prayers are with Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson and the whole... baby mama drama.
Yeah.
What's going on in the world today, right now.
Exactly.
That's pretty big. Yep. Also, Jason Derulo. I'm sorry, that guy thought you were Usher.
Yeah.
Jason Derulo, come on the podcast. We'll let you tell your side of the story.
No.
Jason Derulo, don't listen to Travis.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that sings How Does It Feel? And he's got like the you know, music video and he's got sweat going down his belly button. Let's get that dude on the podcast.
Whatever his name
How
might be.
How does it feel? I'll look it up. You guys go.
So yeah, I definitely got laughs out of it. I definitely got, you know, there were definitely moments where I found the humor in it. I loved Ron Perlman's racist astronaut, like, you know, shout out. Why haven't the Indians and the dots and the feathers teamed up before? It's like...
It's D'Angelo. We need to get D'Angelo on here. How does it feel?
Yeah. He does a great cover, side note, of Princess. She's Always in My Hair.
Ooh.
Check that one out. That one, what's the word? Slaps.
Ooh.
Oh, the song slaps?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
It's beefy.
It's a bop.
It's a Haynes beefy tea.
Oh.
Is it too legit?
To quit.
Wow.
You got it, dude.
So I enjoyed the, you know, the overall stuff. I mean, I enjoyed the margins of the movie, like the humor that was like almost the throwaway stuff, you know, of, you know, Jennifer Lawrence going to work at like a whatever cashier job after like working the end of the world kind of thing.
Her dive into nihilism.
Yeah. You know, just this, the little moments that were here and there, I thought were better than the humor overall. It was like, to me, the moments where, you know, DiCaprio and Lawrence get those kind of network type things where they get to scream at the camera, the I'm as mad as hell moments. It was an interesting flip over network because I say this in the review where it's like, in network, the guy is screaming on behalf of the audience. He's like, as you know, a surrogate for the audience, like in the TV audience in the story. Of like, we're tired of being overtaxed. We're tired of, you know, these wars that don't go anywhere. We're tired of being lied to. This is bullshit. Like he is screaming. He's in the movie. They say he's articulating the popular rage. In this movie, it's like they are they are surrogates of the writers, the filmmakers. And it's like they're screaming at the audience of like, why aren't we doing anything? What's going on? You people are idiots. Mm-hmm. And so it's a different vibe. And it made the movie feel, I think, in those moments, a little bit preachy,
yeah,
in my opinion. It was like...
Yeah.
I was okay with it, though.
Yes.
It has to hit you over the head with
and,
it.
And it's, there's two sides to that of like, maybe it does need to be a 2x4 with a nail in it. But on the other side, that definitely works as social commentary. But, you know, as a movie, as a comedy, you know, it's almost like the movies like Dr. Strangelove. It's like they know when to kind of pull back. It's like, and because it's obviously climate change is horrible. And if you believe it, you believe it. And it's like, I'm almost of a mind that we're almost to a point to where it's like, if you aren't convinced by now, who is going to convince you? Is a movie going to convince you? You know, it's like whenever... Jonah Hill's up giving the speech. It's like, you know, three types of people in the world. It's like there's the working class people.
There's the poor people.
And then we're the cool rich people. That's all of them.
Yeah. Cool rich people that fight on your behalf.
Yeah.
And we need them. You build us up to fight them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the people are cheering and screaming. It's like, to me,
it's just so on the nose.
Some all-star Hollywood movie with a bunch of, like, you know, liberals. They ain't going to convince the people who haven't already been convinced. It's like it's not going to win any con.
No, the satire is not for them. It's for us.
Yes, it's for the choir.
Yeah.
And so to
me. That's a good point, yeah.
And it's like to me, those moments, it's like it's just preaching to the converted. So in Dr. Strangelove, there's an, it's the, I don't know if you guys have seen Strangelove.
Yeah.
But it's like the end of the movie was supposed to have a massive pie fight. That was going to be where the president and the Soviet ambassador and like all the generals getting, because they, and you can look in the background at the craft table, there's a massive row of pies. And so when the bombs are falling, they're going to get into like a Three Stooges style pie fight. And Stanley Kubrick cut that because he thought it would be too much. He thought this is just, it's already crazy enough as it is. You got Slim Pickens riding the bomb down to, you know, nuke the Ruskies. So it's almost, to me, it tells you like the joke that doesn't get told, that gets pulled back, that says a lot about, like, you know, the comedy and how effective it is, you know, and how good Kubrick was at selling that, knowing when to pull things
showing
back.
Restraint goes further than just saying it out loud.
Yeah. Knowing when to pull out.
Yeah. And it's almost this movie's blessing and curse when it doesn't know when to stop. You know, it's like it's big, it's broad, it hits you.
It's very heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there was an element of this movie that kind of wore me out to watch it. I enjoyed it, and I would recommend it to people.
Oh, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would definitely attach a caveat to it that, you know, it may, and again, I guess it depends on where your your view of things, it may exhaust you. It may wear you out. So you may laugh, but you also may be tired by the end of it. So
how many stars did you give it?
I gave it 3 out of 5. Okay. And I debated. I say 3 or 3.5. It's like, man, and if this was a classic review that I wrote and my opinion changed, I was at the first, I was like 3.5. And then the more I wrote, it was like, there was enough of this that I didn't enjoy to bring it down a notch for me, down to 3.
Yeah, I think I would go with 3.5. I think I'd give it a 7.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, obviously, I did watch it twice, but it might be a good long while before I watch it again.
Yeah.
But.
And I'll be interested to watch it again. I would be interested to watch it with somebody else and who hasn't seen it and kind of gauge the distance between us after having seen it again. And that says something about it, too, that I would want to watch it again and give it another look.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's I don't know. It's a very anxious stuff, like climate change and all the stuff, COVID, that this stuff brings forth. It's like it's a very anxiety-inducing.
It hits so close matter. To home that it's uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
It can be a little depressing. You're just like, it's
absolutely depressing.
Yeah. We're too dumb. We're just going to let the spoiler alert asteroid hit and we're mm-hmm. fucking gone. We're like, well, we've earned it collectively.
We had so many chances we're to so stop dumb. It. Everyone brought it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't do anything because the economy.
Yeah. We got to make all that money.
Got to go back to work for the economy.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me, and it's the classic story of like back in Greek mythology, you'd have like the oracles at Delphi that would tell people like, hey, this shit's happening. And like, oh, they would do everything to like try and avoid, but they couldn't, you know, whatever they would try to do to circumvent it would happen anyway. They were fucked.
Yeah.
So, or nobody would listen to the oracle and they'd be like, oh, she doesn't know what she's talking about. And then that's more what this one
sounded like. You can't outrun destiny, basically. Yeah. which is a depressing thought in of itself.
We're too dumb to live. We're all going to die.
And if that's our destiny, so be it. You know.
And they're all going to laugh at you.
They're all going to laugh at you.
So, Sean, you would say?
I give it a 7.5 or 7. Yeah.
Seven in that range.
7-ish. Yeah. You know, I agree that if you look at it really closely and if you like really try to dissect it, like you can dock a point, you know, bring it down to a 3. But looking back at it as a whole, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was a good movie. I think it made me think. It made me, you know, it did give me that angst, and it did make me kind of think about, like, how am I using social media? How am I, like, interpreting the world right now? And, like, how do I interact with it? And I think for that reason, I think it served its goal. I mean, it does preach to the choir in the essence that, like, I'm not learning anything new, but it makes me kind of more aware of it, you know? And the more we can interact with things like that, I think we're better off.
Maybe it'll cause the choir to get recommitted to
work, you know, harder. I mean, we're all guilty of, like, getting sucked into the day-to-day of, like, oh my God, did you guys see that fucking, you know, this guy got called Usher and beat up a couple people?
Again, apologies to Jason Derulo.
Is that who that was? Whooping people. I thought that was Usher. Oh, man.
Yeah, check out that clip on Reddit or
also,
wherever.
Also, why did that guy call Usher a bitch? Because Usher is just a delight. Other than when also, Ian Chile
if he had known that it was Jason Derulo, would he have called him a bitch?
Yeah.
If he thought it was Usher, sure.
After seeing that video, God, I wish he would have called him a bitch.
And, I mean, Usher just wants to make love in this club.
Mm. I wonder if at one point he was like, oh, no, that's Jason Derulo. No, Jason, I like you.
As his fist connected.
But Jason Derulo was too far gone.
So this movie was funny. I laughed out loud several times.
Comedy.
So I know we just keep calling it satire, but it was a comedic film.
Jonah Hill
brought me joy. I laughed.
Timothy Chalamet fucking loves fingerling potatoes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Also,
what are those tiny potatoes called?
Fingerling.
I fucking love fingerling potatoes.
What are our thoughts on homemade versus store-bought apple pie? Somebody liked, I like those little quirky things people add in that are just random bits of dialogue. And obviously it's during the height of the movie.
But just like while they're like waiting for the impending doom, they're just having a conversation about whether or not they like apple pie.
You can get a good store-bought apple pie. You can do it.
Sam's Club is delightful.
Yeah.
I agree. My parents got one from Costco for Christmas.
Schwan's. I don't know if you guys ever tried the Schwan's delivery.
Oh, the frozen?
Do they still come around?
I believe they absolutely do.
I see their truck while I
park. I never see them anymore.
So if you are somewhere where the Schwan's people come around, you run out and get that truck.
Definitely come around our neighborhood.
Also, get you some bagel dogs and a fucking golden nugget bar, man. Those things
are... My parents used to always get the frozen cordon bleus.
Ooh.
Yeah, they had little cordon bleus from
That would be a good Schwan's. Band name, frozen cordon bleus.
Can we get Schwan's to sponsor us?
Ooh, Cinemavino is brought to you by... Schwan's.
Look, we've been doing this a while, and I have not seen one goddamn red cent.
Yeah, I know.
I want to get paid.
Yeah, well, our
we're other still, than in wine,
we have been drinking our budget.
Yeah, Quiznos has still not gotten back to me about that.
Well, speaking of which, what are we drinking?
We are drinking the Cheverny, the Domaine de Salvard. It is a red blend.
Gérard Depardieu.
It is a blend of Pinot Noir and Gamay. I bought this thinking, okay.
How is Gamay spelled?
Gamay.
Okay.
It is a light-bodied red grape. I thought of something like a red wine, because obviously I thought of like the perspective of an asteroid coming to Earth. I mean, did you guys see a movie called, was it Seeking a Friend for the End of the World?
Oh, Dave Carell and Keira Knightley.
Yeah, and I thought about that a little bit and like the impending doom kind of a thing. But I thought, okay, asteroids coming.
Dave Carell?
He did. He was thinking David Tell, but Steve Carell.
Steve Carell is what I meant.
So I thought, okay, what would be, because if an asteroid's coming, what would I grab? And I thought, okay, well, obviously I'm going to grab something crazy.
Did you say titties or kitties?
I said titties. Sorry.
It could be both.
Yeah, I would definitely grab the kitties. if an asteroid's coming for Earth, it's like... I would want something. I'm going to grab like something expensive.
You would want a red blend.
Yes. Well, I mean, I would want to go for like, we got a Chateauneuf du Pape in there. We got a Bordeaux. I'd go for those. But obviously for a budget, for the podcast purposes, I would grab a French red. And also it's a Gamay Pinot Noir blend, which means you can drink it now. It's not supposed to age. It's meant to be enjoyed in the moment. So that would make sense for the end of the world. You know, because it's like, we've got a Chateauneuf du Pape in there, expensive French wine. It's probably not going to be good for a few more years.
What does Gamay mean? And is it also spelled Gamet? Are there alternate spellings?
No, I think we already went over the spelling.
I know it's G-A-M-A-Y, but what does that mean?
That is the grape.
Okay.
Gamay is the name of the varietal.
Gravy.
So it is grown.
Grapey.
Grapey. It's grown in the Beaujolais region of France. So if you see.
I like a Beaujolais grape.
Yeah. If you see a wine that says Beaujolais, that is going to be Gamay. G-A-M-A-Y. And in this region, the Chardonnay, they blend the Gamay and Pinot Noir grapes together.
Are Pinot Noir grapes from a different region?
They're grown primarily in Burgundy. So red Burgundy is going to be Pinot Noir. White Burgundy is Chardonnay.
Doesn't Sauvignon Blanc have an alternate name? Like, is it Chenin Blanc the same?
Sauvignon Blanc? Sauvignon Blanc
Shannon
is...
Shannon Doherty?
Shannon... I almost said Shannon Doherty. Sauvignon Blanc is sometimes referred to in America as Fumé Blanc.
Fumé Blanc, that's right. Okay.
Same thing.
All right.
Potato, potato.
I didn't know if Gamay, for some reason in my head, G-A-M-E-T was also an alternate spelling, but I think I'm wrong. Yeah. It's delicious, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It is delicious.
Yeah, it's a great...
Very smooth, mild.
$20, easy drinking, very bright, fun red wine. It would be great if you're having an end-of-the-world party.
Like
easy drinking, bright and fun. That's
I'm really upset that I'm having to share it with two other people. I would drink this entire bottle.
Yeah.
Also, apologies to Taylor Derulo tonight who can't be with us.
He got beat up because he called Jason Derulo Usher.
Yeah, not even by Jason. It was by somebody random at a party.
he got punched by Jason Derulo, but I think he finished him off.
Yeah.
Like, not in a sexy way.
He won that.
Not in a sexy way.
Could have been in a sexy way.
Yeah, watch that start trending.
Taylor could chokeslam the shit out of Jason Derulo.
I'd put that on TMZ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ja Rule.
I mean, well, like, list who couldn't chokeslam Ja Rule.
Which I read.
Probably like, Michelle Tanner, age 8. That's it. That's the beginning and end of the list.
You got it, dude.
I read where Jonah Hill described his character in this movie as if the Fire Festival were a person.
Yes.
I thought that was the perfect.
If who was the person?
If the Fire Festival Ja Rule was a person, it would be him.
Yeah, that's accurate.
I love it that he was the only survivor left on Earth and still trying to post social media. It was.
Well, please like and subscribe.
It's a nice touch.
What up?
What up?
It's your boy.
It's your boy. So it's been another episode of Cinema Vino.
It's your boy.
Yeah.
It's your boy.
We're going to look this month at some of the big Golden Globe / upcoming Oscar nominees. And we're also going to side pod about Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
And we're going to do a little pod about The Matrix, too. We're going to share our thoughts on that, which should be pretty quick.
You mean The Matrix 4?
The Matrix 4. I don't think any of us are particular fans of it. So it might be brief.
Skip it.
Yeah.
Skip it to you.
So, anyway, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Come back and see us next time.
Hasta luego.
You can listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at toddwatfermovies.com.